There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are, Tuesday night, the 11th of November, 2014, and it is just a few minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, Central Standard Time. Did anybody notice the change in the weather today versus yesterday? Did you notice the leaves changing for the time of year that it is? How many of you who have a cat or a dog, a rabbit, a hamster, noticed or just watched them goof around and play? Not with you or the kids or the family, or even the neighbor, but just happen to watch an animal just kind of goof around, live its life. Did you really notice the sunset or sunrise? How do you live your life? Is it by machines, an alarm clock, a wristwatch, an iPad, a cell phone, schedules, an itinerary, a day planner, a scheduler, a calendar? What do you notice? Because once you figure out what your senses are in tuned to, it kind of answers the question as to why or if you do or do not see grace. Where is your attention? Where's your focus? What are you thinking about? And I always find it very telling when someone gets a horse that's never had a horse before. Because sooner or later they say, you know, I never knew. I didn't realize how many people have horses. How many horses there are around the countryside. How many people have pickup trucks that you can tell they're hauling horse trailers. I didn't know that until I got my own horse. Now, several years ago, I bought a boat for fishing. I didn't realize how many people have boats and how many of them were fishing boats like mine until I had a boat of my own. I remember the first time I got a dog, I didn't realize how many people have dogs until I had a dog of my own. And you can put whatever you want. Horses, boats, dogs, kids. Running shoes. Barbecues, smokers, tennis rackets. Bicycles, water skis. Whatever it is. Because until you are participating, until you notice something in your own life, it just doesn't seem to be on our radar, does it? Between jobs and kids and school and appointments and hobbies and just the day-to-day survival of the world, unless it's right in front of our face, we don't seem to acknowledge it. Well, isn't that interesting? Because grace is in front of our face. Grace is in our heart. Grace is in our soul. Because it was put there by Christ and paid for by the blood of Jesus. So now the only question is, why aren't you noticing it? You have it. So I guess you could say that you don't know how many dogs there are until you own a dog, and you don't know how many boats there are till you own a boat. Perhaps you don't know that God is real until you have a relationship with Him. So if you're not noticing Christ, if you're not enjoying grace, there's only one answer. You're not connected. We had a homework assignment 2 weeks ago that talked about a compass, where you just took a compass, any compass, on a keychain or Boy Scout compass, or even Jim's walk-around machine had a compass on it. And you just go out in your yard and you just look at true north. The needle is right in the middle of the inn, and you walk about 15, 20 feet north, and then you come back and you turn your compass so that it's just one frog's hair, one needle thickness, one click or two lines, one or two lines off of north, and you walk 20 feet. And you realize that in 15 to 20 feet, how far off you are from true north, and how easy it is to be distracted and not notice it. Because until you own a boat, a dog, a cat, a horse, a rabbit, a tennis racket, you never realized how many other people participated with those things as well. So tonight, we're going to be talking about, are you sure you're really paying attention? Do you really notice what there is to be noticed? Because there's scripture that talks about paying attention and noticing things, isn't there?
There is, and it's over in Romans in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, I think is one of the better scriptures that we can start with. And then there's a couple other scriptures as we get into this program I'm going to read. I think it's going to astound you. But anyhow, let's start here. Message Bible, Romans 1, 19 and 20. But the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes, and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of His divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. Well, those are the two verses. And I actually like the long and thoughtful look. I had a really interesting chance, and this maybe sparked a little bit of our show's topic tonight. And I'll just say it like this, for those of you that have been around our show, you kind of know how BJ and I work on the show. Sometimes it comes to the very last moment before we know what we're doing. I think a couple of shows we've done recently, we kind of figured it out what we were doing while we were in the middle of the show. So he's always very much on ready for whatever direction. So this is one of the things that happened this weekend, and I was in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, Lancaster, South Carolina, and they actually have a really nice golf course there, and it's a small place, though, so it's kind of odd that they would have such a nice course. But anyhow, I've been to that course. I mean, I've been there for 9 years going to that same church. So I've been there quite a few times. And there's one of the fellows that was a Rhema grad, Michael Williams. He comes up, and we'll usually play some golf together. Sometimes the pastor there, Stephen Braswell, will play too. But it's every once in a while that he'll go. So anyhow, we're going out, and it's supposed to drop and get real cold down into the high 30s, low 40s. So we just, you know, talked about it before we went and just said, well, you know, I just really know it's going to be a great day. We're going to have a good time. We've got this extra time in the morning to go. And it was very early. It was like 8:20. And it was supposed to be packed. And it ended up that we basically had the golf course to ourselves. And even as cold as it was, there was absolutely no wind, very still. And the sun was out, so we weren't cold at all. We were warm. It was a great day. We got to around the fourth or fifth hole, and there were two holes that were connected by a lake. And there was no one around, and there were beautiful colored leaves everywhere with the green grass, a great contrast. Things were just waking up. You know, it's probably just 9 o'clock, and it's just still as can be. And I said to Michael, I said, stop for just a moment. I said, look around and take this in. Look at everything. The trees, the sky, the color, the shapes. Look at the pond and the ripple on the ponds, the fish that just jumped, certain birds that were just screaming out or chirping, squirrels that were running. Take it all in. And we just did a 360 degree, both of us just went all the way around and looked at everything. And we were done. We just stood there for a moment. And then I looked at Michael and I said, there's absolutely no difference from what we just digested, what we just looked at. There's no difference in somebody coming out of a wheelchair or a cancer dying, disappearing, and a person being raised up. There's no difference at all. And, you know, it was awesome because I know Michael, first of all, he's heard me say things like that before, but he really got it. And we both got it. Now, it didn't help the next hole. I think we both bogeyed it, but nonetheless, it was an awesome moment, and it continued to be the whole day. And I want to read that again. Open your eyes, and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. BJ, don't you think that's a good verse to start off with as far as no one has a good excuse, and how that by looking at what God has created, you do begin to see what your eyes as such can't see because he's literally permeated in everything.
I wasn't listening because there was just too much talk golf. About stupid golf.
Yeah, I figured that kind
so
of
I, yeah, I just
tuned it out.
Yeah, I was on the internet shopping for socks because you were talking about golf.
So yeah. you were listening enough until you heard that.
Yeah, as soon as I heard golf this, golf that, golf this, golf course, this or that, I thought, well, yeah. Welcome to Jim Huckaday's Golfy World Radio Show or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Ranger, we were just kind of nodding off. Mm. Golf. Golf. Golf.
By the way, folks, this barn is being heated tonight.
It is.
By some wood that I actually helped to split and cut, and there is a... Didn't I help split and cut that wood right there?
Yes.
And I don't know how big your little wood stove is, but it's an old, kind of the old-fashioned cast iron, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a cooking surface on it, and it's Well, actually, believe it or not, as small as that stove is, it's too big for the room it's in.
Yeah. Boy, it heats it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, because like three or four logs is good for about 2-3 hours.
Uh-huh.
And so, well, it's a nice toasty 70, 71 and rising. We got a fan on.
Yeah, we
guess
do.
I could always go to the breaker box and throw the air conditioner on for a while. That makes sense. Wood stove, air conditioning. It's like it's in the 20s or 30s outside. Folks, if you want to send an email, you send them to the radio show's name, The Abiding Presence, at gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text message, the first word that you have to type in your message is grace. After you type the word grace, you can type your comment or question or just saying hello. And then when you press the send button and you need a number, it's just 5 digits. No one, no area code, just 69302. So, and the way you email the show, the way you send a text message to the show is on the www.theabidingpresence.com website on the contacts page. We already got an email that came in. It came in a few days ago, about 5 days ago. It says, "Oh my goodness, your radio show is so exceptional. Thank you. I am perhaps the world's greatest seeker for knowing and walking with Jesus. And after all these years of looking for what the Lord tried to teach me some 35 plus years ago, I found it out here. One thing, though, please regularly tell people about the archives. Let's see, 1 hour and 45 minutes per week is not enough. Start with show number 1, such great teaching. I came to show number 7. Jim said, peace in your heart is the fertile ground where every miracle grows. That nails it." This is Carl in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, I believe. It says BA, so in Oklahoma that would be that. We got one here that says, I like this. It says, "Hey, Ranger and support staff." I like
that's good.
That's really, you know,
creative.
It's actually accurate. Yeah, it's the Ranger show with the support staff. It says, "Wow, hitting it out of the park already tonight. We notice more grace every day by opening our eyes on purpose. You guys are helping keep up the great work. A shout out to Stephen and Stacy Braswell.
Yeah,
and all the great folks at Destiny Bible in Lancaster, South Carolina. Joe Edwards in Statesville, who is changing the world one student at a time. And Samuel Cruz of Gastonia, who drove his family down to Lancaster this weekend on faith and was rewarded openly. Triple shout out to Sister Elaine from Charlotte with her awesome cookie ministry. Thanks for the cookies. Thanks, guys, for all you're doing each week to help us move our needle closer to north. Breakfast Ed."
Yeah. Well, Ed didn't respond to your email yet, did he?
No, I'm sending him another one.
Okay. Because I know you emailed him about all that stuff he gave us.
Yeah, I actually, Breakfast Ed, I'm pressing the send button, 1, 2, 3. No, I just pressed the send button on.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know what I'm sending.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. "We are entertained by it, but perhaps Breakfast Ed is not." We got one here. It says, "Jim, Ranger, and BJ, I need to report some missing cookies. I wasn't able to join Jim and Breakfast Ed last week in Lancaster. So a very kind lady there sent some homemade cookies by Ed, directing him that some were for me. So the meeting ended Sunday, and it's now Tuesday night, and I have not seen a single cookie. I'm not prepared to make an official accusation, but I'm wondering what Breakfast Ed had for breakfast yesterday and today. Tim Yokley." Tim, you are preaching to the choir, my friend. I've been asking for 3 years now, where's the cookies? Where's the Rice Krispie squares? Where's the candy? Where's the dog treats? Where's this? Where's that? Yeah, so you know what? You got no sympathy here, bud. You're on your own. He's one incident in this man's life, in Tim Yokley's life. He's missing a couple cookies. You have secured truckloads of treats that have never seen the light of day in the barn.
Hey, listen, I've got to carry your treats home on the plane, so just be real thankful that I do it.
Now, folks, let's see, because having a relationship with God is all about being precise and absolute.
Oh, brother.
Let's look at him. He just adjusted his seat. Did you? You should see the panic on his face. He goes, oh, brother, think about what the gentleman just said. Look at all the treats I have to haul for you on the plane. And I just got done stating how they never show up here. The man has just admitted the crime. He's talked about how it is such an effort, and it's just a burden to
embellishment.
To pack
embellishment.
All that stuff to Oklahoma, but yet it never makes it to the barn. Oh my gosh. Hey, we got a text that says, please expound on healing and nature's beauty. Thanks. And then it says, hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger from sunny in Tampa, Florida. Oh, from sunny Tampa, Florida, Dennis and Muriel Madsen.
Okay.
I thought it was somebody named Sunny in Tampa, Florida.
Right.
But no, it's sunny Tampa, Florida. And it's Dennis and Muriel. Well, see, Dennis and Muriel Madsen, they kind of go to
Snowbirds.
Florida.
Snowbirds. Don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I thought they were people. Are you saying they're like birds?
No. In the wintertime, probably the winter season, they go down to Florida. And otherwise, they live back up in Wisconsin.
Okay. What's that got to do with a bird?
Well, that's what you call them.
I just think they're really nice people.
Well, I do, too.
No, obviously don't. You're no. you think of them in a foul manner. That was good,
was
it?
That was terrible.
That was
not
good.
I saw it coming.
Ranger liked it.
I saw the look in your eye. I thought, okay, here we go.
Okay.
So she wants to know about nature and healing.
Please expound on healing and nature's beauty.
Well, this actually has some of what, pretty much a lot of what our show has to be tonight. And so, you know, without getting into everything just yet, the gist from my viewpoint is the more real and the more time you take to relax and begin to see God in the beauty of what He has created, the more real it can become to your heart of why would you buy into anything that is of a world and a flesh where everything is distorted. And it's a matter of perception and perspective. And that's exactly where your energy goes, or where your focus is what you're going to have. And if your focus is all day long on your body and on medicine and on doctor bills and on doctor's appointments and continuing to chart your course, whether you're getting better or worse, and better or worse for you means your flesh, then you need to pull back and shift your reality, your focus, over to how amazing and wonderful God is. And just alone by seeing Him, even in some things that are so simple as nature, it begins to pull you right back into an awareness of Him.
You know, when we're talking about what you notice, folks, what you pay attention. Now, everybody has a favorite movie, a favorite book, a favorite song, a favorite TV show. And you really enjoy it. And when you get to the end, there's disappointment because you go, oh, I could watch this show all day long. I wish there was sequels to this book. Boy, I can't believe this movie's 2 hours long because it just seems like it just started. I really like it. Well, then there's the opposite. It just crawls. You can't wait for the movie to be over. It seems like it's 3 weeks long. You can't finish the book because it's so boring. And you can't stand to watch the TV show. It's an hour TV show and it seems like it's a week long because you have no interest in it. You don't like it. So it just seems to drag out. Well, if you love grace, if you like the guys, and you're trying to have a relationship with Christ, that should be exciting. And the time should fly by, and it should be easy to notice it. Now, what I want to do right now during the show is I want everybody to get a piece of paper. Now, you can use a pen or a pencil. And if you have a room full of people, like a family and kids, or a husband and wife, or whatever, everybody needs their own piece of paper, but you only need one pen or one pencil. Okay, so I'm going to give everybody about 5 minutes to grab a piece of paper and a pencil or pen. Okay, and the paper you want, the paper doesn't have to be very big, but it has to be, you want a piece of paper that's bigger than a pack of cigarettes, and it doesn't have to be any bigger than a remote control for a TV. So, everybody has to have their own piece of paper, and then you can share a pen or a pencil. And because it has to do with tonight's topic about what you notice, and it's also in correlation with our homework assignment about a compass and being clicks off. Jim, one thing that I think that I notice, and this literally has nothing to do with the guys or your radio show, but I just notice this about people. People are so tunnel vision.
Okay.
It's like a horse with blinders on. Because it's amazing what people don't notice. They'll say, what just happened? I didn't see that. I didn't even know that was going on. And right. I was right next to it.
Right.
You hear people make those statements all the time.
Right.
And one of the biggest things that people have to learn when they work on this ranch is to notice things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cowgirls, she says, I've been here 3 months and I'm really starting to understand about what you say about seeing things. And she says, it's happening at my house. I notice things that people don't notice. And they think, well, what are you spying? Are you just, and you say, well, no, but you can just, if you pay attention,
right.
You see what's going on.
Yeah. My ability to notice things has increased double, triple, quadruple since we started the show.
And see, this goes with the piece of paper and the pen or pencil I want people to get. And it also goes with the compass, and it goes with tonight's topic about what do you really recognize? What do you notice?
Right.
What's on your radar? What's important to you? Because what's on your radar, what you notice, what's important to you, like we started the show off with saying, I didn't know how many boats there were till I had a boat. I didn't know how many people had dogs till I had a dog. If you're saying those things, it really shows that there is so much out there that you are clueless about.
Uh-huh.
Because if you don't have a solid-based relationship with grace, if you're really not connected to the guys, what are you really enjoying?
Yeah.
Because if you're not enjoying much, and you're not recognizing much, exactly how effective are your prayers going to be? What can you really look forward to?
Right.
Because you don't even see what's there.
Right. You know, Aaron commented to me, this was, I'd say, within the last couple months. I can't nail down the exact time. But anyhow, she was commenting to me about girls or some ladies that she's around. Some may be at some work, you know, some may be just friends. And she was noticing the conversations. And she was beginning to pick up on all the little innuendos that, I mean, 6 months ago, literally went in and out and she never considered, never even thought about. And now she's starting to say, oh my goodness, I can't believe how people think. I never even noticed it. And now I'm noticing all the things that, like the people I've been around for the last year, I'm noticing things that they've been saying the whole time, and I can't believe. She said, do you think I'm starting to get this? And I just kind of laughed, and I said, yes, that's what begins to happen, is you'll begin to notice, and that's something we've talked about here at the ranch that you've shared with me. And then, of course, the scriptures is Titus chapter 2, where grace is a teacher, and the first thing grace teaches you is about letting go of the world so that you can grab hold of God. Or in other words, grace shields you from the world so that you can experience God. You've shared that for the last 3 years. But it works like that, doesn't it? You start to notice things.
Yep.
And that's actually a real good indicator that you're beginning to get it. In fact, tonight when we showed up, one of the things I shared was, because you I don't think like this, but it's similar in that it's almost psychic, almost like you can get around people anymore and you can just tell what's going on.
Yeah.
You notice folks, and I said it was sad because there's a sadness to noticing this person is so far the opposite direction. I don't know what I can say to help them. I mean, that's a sad thought.
Well,
but the fact that you're noticing is the part.
The fact that you notice is a way of making sure that you don't see that when you look in the mirror when you brush your teeth.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Don't duplicate it.
Don't duplicate it. Say, I don't want that to be me.
Right.
I don't want to think like that. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to act like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good for anybody listening tonight. Because it's not about judgmental stuff. It has nothing
well,
to do with
it. Well, it's
not,
you know, it's like, say you're a kid and you're in school and somebody says something funny and everybody in the class laughs at it.
Right.
But yet they're held after school or they're in detention or they get punished or they're sent home with a note and they get in trouble. Well, you're not judging them. You literally just say, well, as nice as it would be to make everybody laugh, it's not worth it to get in trouble.
Right, right. And you figure it out.
See, that's not judgment. What that is that's observing what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be cold, but you don't want to stick your head in the oven. You know, there's a very fine line between trying to avoid danger, avoid mistakes, and just painting yourself into a corner where you think, well, I don't want to be a I told you so person. I don't want to be a hall monitor. I don't want to be a tattletale or a snitch. No, it isn't like that. It's about avoiding danger. It's no different than you walking down the sidewalk and there's a big pile that a dog left there. I mean, it wasn't a chihuahua. It wasn't a mini pen. It wasn't even a little lopso-opso. I mean, it was like a Great Dane. It was like it was like a Saint Bernard. As far as you're concerned, a rhinoceros was just walking down the sidewalk, and you see it, you smell it, and you step around it. That doesn't mean you judged it. It doesn't even mean you criticize it. You have made a conscious choice that you don't want to participate by walking in it and carrying it with you. Because that's what character and reputation is.
Hmm.
Is making a simple choice to say, I don't want to do it. It's fine for somebody else. I'm not judging somebody else. I'm not going to criticize somebody else. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not for me.
Hmm.
We got an email here. It's from Tatiana Antonio. It's from Grayer. And it's also from Tyasha. And Antonio had fun today with his best friend. He said Jesus was there. So these are, I mean, these are kids. 9, 8, 6, 2, 6. 2 or 6, 1, 8. And 1's 9. And they're saying hello to the show. So we need to say hello back. Now, nothing says Jesus like that.
Like Tarzan, right?
You know, somewhere on the face of the planet, somebody is going to come across this radio show for the first time.
Oh, gosh.
And the first impression
they've already judged us.
They're going to have is they're going to hear this voice that says, you know, nothing says Jesus like. And they're going to pray for us.
Yeah, they will. They will.
They're going to say, do you know? Well, that's Oklahoma for you. That's how twisted those people in Oklahoma are. That's just blasphemy. That's just wrong. Who would put something like that on the internet? That's why we need rules. Right there is for things like that. We got another email, Jim. And oh, here we go. Oh, see, it's like two little kids. Tell Tim Yokley, I asked Jim on Sunday if sharing was part of the new covenant. He said, I usually only take BJ a small fraction of what people give me. So Tim will most likely, he won't ever see any of those cookies. That's what you said to Breakfast Ed? I usually only take BJ a small fraction of what people give me.
This is so distorted, this whole thing.
Then it says, shout out to all the veterans tonight. Appreciate your service. And it says, on a very serious note, get Jim to expand on the point he made this weekend about finishing books, being indicative of how someone does life and does faith. Jim, let's just move on because now we've even got people talking about your dastardly, I usually only take BJ a small fraction of what people give me. Wow.
Telling. You know, the thing that's very interesting is that you've been able to infect the minds of so many people with the idea that this is really what I do. I mean, that's the thing that's amazing. But it's, hey, listen, if somebody's got to take the rap, that's okay. I don't mind.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever wanted a perfect example of what Plan B thinking is like, it's exactly what Jim Huckaday just said. Turn it around. Don't take responsibility or culpability for your actions. Make some kind of viable excuse why you are the innocent victim, and it's just all a ploy against you. Plan B, Plan B, Plan B. Thank you, Jim, for such a wonderful example of Plan B behavior.
The interesting thing is I don't even need to actually defend myself because people know that this is just a setup. That's okay.
Really?
No, that's okay.
Not so, according to the listeners, but that's okay.
So the whole idea of do you read, do you finish a book, or do you just put it down? Do you read two or three, start two or three, or do you and finish them, or do you start two or three and you never get to the end? And that was a question that I had asked a gal that is 16 years old here in Tulsa, and it was about 2 weeks ago, and I ministered to her and prayed for her. She had Crohn's disease. And what I told her was, if you don't, she said, no, I never finish a book if I pick it up. I said, well, maybe that's actually indicative of the way that you do life. It's the way that you would see things. So you might not follow through. I said, so for you, you'll probably have to do something pretty crazy. In other words, a little bit more demonstrative to see yourself through in that what you know God has done for you is real. And just as a report, that young gal that had Crohn's disease is doing wonderful, and she's eating, and her food is doing what it's supposed to inside of her belly, and it's feeding her body, and she's getting her weight back on, and she's doing well. So thank God she's made a very strong stand that was very absolute, and that's why I made those comments. So that's what that was about. What do you think about the idea that plays carries over? Because BJ, on the ranch, I don't have time to tell people. In fact, I have to go to my notes. That's something that I'm doing. I'm transferring all my notes onto my tablet, so it's real easy to read. But the amount of things you've said in the last 3 years about ways people, different ways in which people live or do life that is just so misconstrued or misdirected, that's different from them experiencing God. I'm sure this is one of them, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time out in Northern California, and it was always fun when I'd take a big truck with a big trailer full of cattle or horses through the early morning commuter traffic where the highways are 4 to 6 lanes going in one direction. And it's just bumper to bumper. And people are honking their horns and are trying to change lanes to navigate really just about a 5 mile an hour snail's pace gridlock for miles in morning commute.
Right.
And then in the afternoon, I would see the traffic going about 80 miles an hour. Like it's an automobile race.
Right.
And it was always a wonderment to me, because I'd say, we are so different. It amazes me that we are similar enough that we're willing to drive next to a total stranger at 80 miles an hour. But yet, we virtually have nothing in common with each other. We are so different. And this is never more obvious than in organized religions, and how many religions there are, and how similar they are, but yet how different they are.
Okay.
How they compete with each other, how they make jokes about each other, and how they look down and judge each other. I find it very telling, because it's about observing what is. Because if you know what's going on, then you know exactly what is not going on.
Uh-huh.
And it's really true that if you don't know it's broke, you don't know that it needs to be fixed. If you don't know that it's a problem, how would you ever be able to find a solution for it?
Hmm.
And if you don't know that there is grace and that there is a God, how would you know to seek them out? How would you know that you have grace?
Hmm.
The only difference between the people listening to this show, whether they're 6, 8, 9, or 65 or 70 years old, the only difference between everybody that listens to this show is, how do they perceive themselves, and how much grace do they really notice?
Hmm.
Because if you agree that God has no limits, no boundaries, that his love is endless, and that God is all-powerful, and the guys can have no limits, no boundaries, well, then that applies to their love for you.
Right, right.
And so, if you're only noticing a little bit, or sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you've seen it work a little bit, but most of the time it doesn't, exactly what is that saying? It's saying that you're clicks off. You're not focused. You're not consistent.
You know, thinking about the focus, the consistency, remember, folks, this isn't about just noticing little evidences of God. This is about actually hanging out with God himself, where you become more aware of his presence in your life. Now, when you think back to Adam and Eve in the garden, that they literally were with him at all times, 24/7. The fact that Adam and Eve, after they sinned, were in a position where God came in the cool of the day, and they heard him, and then they hid from him. That whole concept right there is a sinful concept. That's where things went wrong, and that's how it had to be, where God had to come to them because there was something that was severed, the relationship, because of the two bites of an apple. Before sin, Adam and Eve were with each other and with God all the time. Now, here's my point. Okay. If we think, because we've never really met God, that God's some old guy, and by being with him half a day, we're like, okay, we're done, man. This guy has nothing else to show me. I mean, he's boring the fire out of me. I just want to leave. Oh, my goodness. You know, this is part of the problem, that we've conveyed the idea about God because people haven't spent time with him to enjoy the benefits of just hanging out. We've conveyed the idea that God is boring, God is old, God is just not very relevant to the day, you know, and all kinds of other things you could say. When you begin to put that into the equation, now you understand why people are feeling like they're almost in jail to have to watch God all the time. They're almost being punished to have to look at grace all the time. And if that even crosses your mind, like this is work, then you're really missing the point, because it's actually the enjoyment of life to experience how God can enhance everything you do.
We're talking about perception tonight. What do you perceive? What do you notice? What's real to you? We got a text message. It says, so hard to imagine Jim cheating anyone out of anything. See, they're,
Thank you. The listeners are sad. Thank you. You're supporting me.
Well, then they added, but obviously the evidence is very clear.
They didn't add that. You just did. I know you. I so know that.
All right, folks. You've had about 20 minutes now to get a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. This is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to find the center of that piece of paper, and I want you to very carefully punch a hole in it with the pen or the pencil. You're not going to write anything. I just want you to punch a nice, neat little round hole in the center of that paper. Now, you don't want to run the pen or pencil through it. You just want to use the part that has the ink or just the tip of the lead. Just punch a little hole in that paper. Okay. Now, I'll give you about 4 or 5 minutes to get to punch a hole in the center of your paper so that everybody is on the same page. All right, so everybody pass the pen or pencil around the room. Punch a hole in the center of the paper. You don't even have any paper, do you? Do you want a piece of paper?
No, I got some.
You do? You got a pen?
I do.
Is that something you don't mind punch a hole in it?
I don't.
What did you just tear?
It's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. So punch a hole. Jim's doing this right now. Look at that piece of paper. It's torn to shreds.
Okay.
Just tear that other part off. Or do you want some scotch tape or something?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Did you punch a hole?
I did.
Okay.
It's a little one, though.
Just put the paper down now, because we got to wait for everybody to catch up.
Okay.
Okay. We got an email here. It says, hello from Bellevue. It is a balmy 20.9 degrees with a wind chill of 15. I'm just thankful it is warmer than it is in Trinidad.
Who is that?
I don't know. It really says that. I'm just thankful is warmer than it is in Trinidad. And then it says, laugh out loud. Hi to Ranger BJ and Jim. Great show tonight. It is exactly what I have been experiencing this week. Coincidence. I know better than that. Oh, homework. Gotta go. That's what it says. And then it's from Christine in Bellevue, Nebraska. I've never been to Bellevue, Nebraska, but I've driven by Bellevue, Nebraska. Okay, folks. I think everybody's had enough time to punch a hole in your piece of paper. Now, this is what I want you to do. It sounds really crazy, but it doesn't take a very big hole to do it. Is I want you to take your piece of paper, and I want you to stick that piece of paper up to your face in front of one of your eyes. Okay? Now, as small as a hole it is, if it's literally touching your face, you can see through that hole. Jim, you can see through that hole, can't you?
Yes.
Okay, folks, as you have your piece of paper right up against your eyelashes, and you can actually see through that hole. If you move your head just a little bit to the left or to the right, you can actually look around the room. It's amazing what you can see through that little hole. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to move it 1 inch away from your face. Can't see anything. Now, take your arm and stretch it far out. Lock your elbow. You can barely see there's a hole in the piece of paper. Now, this whole homework assignment is this. move the paper back in front of your eye so you can see through it, and then stretch your arm out where you can just barely see the hole in the piece of paper. Nothing has changed. The room hasn't changed. The piece of paper hasn't changed. The hole hasn't gotten smaller or bigger. The only thing that has changed is your choice. Do I hold it so close that I can see through this tiny hole, or do I choose to have it so far away I don't even recognize it? That's grace. How close are you to God? How close, how real is grace for you? Because when you embrace grace, you can see. But when you choose the world, or you distance yourself from Christ, it's like it's not even there. It's a miracle if you could see anything. And it's just an arm's reach away. Did you like that?
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to come over to some scripture here. Galatians 2:20. Paul talked about some of this, punching a hole in a piece of paper and being able to move it back and forth. I said it for you because I know that's what you usually comment about. Well, it says here, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So right there is his perspective, okay? That's what he's noticing. And it goes on to say, I do not set aside or frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Talking about righteousness in the law means if I live life like Adam's punishment, where everything is about how my flesh connects to the world, then I frustrate the grace of God. To frustrate the grace of God, I'm going to actually look that verse up while you say something here.
Well, what Adam did was, is he took his piece of paper and did what? Held it out. He removed the piece of paper from away from his face. Adam and Eve stretched their arms so far out,
right,
that a relationship with the guys seemed impossible. They couldn't see anything. Now, folks, for those of you who have participated in the homework assignment that we gave out 2 weeks ago and that we talked about on last week's show that was pre-recorded, this goes in conjunction with it. Think about when you had your compass and you were walking due north, and then you just came back to where you started, 10 to 15 feet in your front or backyard, and you looked at the compass and you just moved that needle ever so slightly, and look at such a short distance,
right,
how you were on a different path.
That's good.
Now, this was 15 to 20 feet of a different road, a different path. Just think what would happen if that turned into miles.
15 and 20 years worth.
And days and weeks and months and years.
Yeah.
You would be so far off the correct northern path of due north on the compass that your reality would become the distance and route that you were walking.
Right.
Now take this perspective of what we're talking about with compasses, and now bring into this conversation what you just did with the hole in your piece of paper, and how as close as you had it to your face you could see, and all you did was simply stretch your arm out. And you could barely even see a hole in the paper, let alone see anything through the hole. Now take these perspectives and ask yourself this very, very simple question. If Jesus' blood paid for my sins, if I was born with God's love in me,
okay,
and I have all the grace than I could ever want and even more than I could ever use in my heart. What simple, ridiculously small thing am I doing? What is that one or two clicks of the compass? What am I putting away from my eye so I can't see grace?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Satan, the devil, bad luck, whatever you want to use as a plan B, has nothing to do with this at all, does it?
No.
It's about you. Your mom and your dad can't fix it. Your best friend can't help you with this. Because it's up to you as to where the piece of paper is and just how much you pay attention to that compass needle.
Right.
It's the smallest of choices that keep you from what you already were born with. Did you like this?
Yeah, good. And I'm going to go ahead and follow up with what I was saying here. Remember, Paul said, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Meaning, if the punishment that Adam and Eve put on themselves through the choice of being a part of the flesh in the world, that's what people have been struggling with all these years. That's what Jesus was alluding to over there in Matthew 6 when he said, the Gentiles seek after all these things. That means the busyness of life to try to obtain what you need that when they were in the garden, God provided for. Well, when you go back to that living, or if that's what you've only known, Paul said you frustrate the grace of God. Here's what the word frustrate means in the original language. It means to do away with something laid down, prescribed, or established. To thwart the efficiency of anything, or to nullify, make void, frustrate, to reject, to refuse, to slight. So that's what he's saying you do to grace.
Yeah.
You thwart the efficiency of grace. You do away with what has been prescribed for you, grace.
You move the paper away.
Yeah.
Now
it all fits.
We have a small problem.
What's the problem?
We just received an email, and someone's giving us a lot of credit that we don't deserve.
Okay.
They don't want their name mentioned, and it's kind of a long email, but basically what they're doing is they're really singing our praises, and they think that the compass and the hole in the piece of paper is the greatest thing that they've ever...
Really?
Yeah. And I can't let this go because, well, Jim, where did these come from? Where did you get Andy's mints from? Why are they just showing up now? Is this a guilty conscience, by the way?
Nothing to do with anything.
Really?
They were in my basket in South Carolina.
What basket?
Ow, just a second.
You got a cramp?
Yeah.
Jim's got a cramp. You know what that is? That's guilt, folks.
That's not guilt.
Well, I'm enjoying this mint.
It's a hamstring.
Oh, God. You know what? I don't have any cramps. You know why? Because I don't steal candy. Okay. About this email. And Jim, as soon as he's got his cramp taken care of.
Okay, I'm all right.
Jim will attest to this. Jim had no idea about the homework assignment with a compass. I just threw it in the show without even telling anything to him. I just made it up on the fly, correct?
Yeah, same thing on the paper.
He didn't know what was happening with the paper. I just made it up on the fly during the show tonight.
No, actually, before the show, you went ahead and poked a
well, I
hole.
Well, I poked a hole.
And then you went like this, and you went like this.
I poked. That's you're right. Before the show started, I came up
and
with this idea.
I was wondering what you were doing.
Yeah, I saw the look on your but you were too afraid to ask.
No, I didn't.
But no,
just
before
didn't
the but, well,
it.
Jim was talking, and I just picked up a little slip of paper out of the garbage can in the barn, and I poked a hole in it because I thought, before I say this, I better see if it works.
Right.
No, the compass and the piece of paper, there was no great planning, no kibitzing. They were just literally off the cuff, just came into my mind. And obviously it's grace. It's mm-hmm. you know, it has nothing to do with me. Are you sure you're okay over there?
I'm good now.
I mean, okay. We got an email here that says, that was completely awesome. I can't wait to do that with my kids tomorrow. Also, looking forward to seeing Jim in January. This is from Christine in Bellevue. I think she's talking about the compass in the paper.
Wait, I'm not going to be there in January.
You're not?
No, I'm going to be in Chicago, I'm going to be in Ontario, and I'm going to be in California.
Well, maybe she's going to go to Chicago.
Oh, okay.
You know, from Bellevue, Nebraska to Chicago, it's a drive, but it's not undoable.
Okay.
I don't know. She must be talking about the paper and the comfort. This is awesome. Okay, folks, here's what I want you to do. Let's get going here. Let's get some text messages coming in. Let's get some emails coming in. Tell Jim and I and Ranger, right? Ranger! What? Oh. Dog spelled backwards. Oh, guess what? Oh. Wow, she's ground. You know why she's upset? Because you're bogarting a candy again.
I just remembered that it was in my backpack.
Yeah, great. Wonder what else you're going to remember when you get home that came out the plane.
There's a pizza in there, too, but I'm not going to bring it out until after.
It's time for some emails, folks, and some text messages.
Okay.
You send your emails to the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, with the holiday season around the corner, gmail.com. Text messages, the first word that you type in your text is the letter grace, the word grace. And then you send it to 69302. The way all the information on contacting us is on the radio show's website on the contacts page. I want to know what the compass homework assignment and the punch a hole in a piece of paper has done for you to give you thought and perspective on the topic of tonight's broadcast on noticing things and the choices that you make. Because that's what it really boils down to for each mm-hmm. one of us.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if you rob a bank. It's another thing if you kill somebody or you're involved in an automobile accident and you hit and run, you drive away. But it's another thing when you do these small little things every day. What happened to the window? I don't know. When I got home from school, it was cracked. You don't know anything about the window. No, I really don't. I don't know what happened to the window. Well, I would have had that report ready. But we're supposed to be getting those new computers. And, well, my computer crashed again. So I had to reboot my computer. And it's in there. And I'll get that report emailed to you in a couple of hours. We all make these little excuses. These small little lies, these little inconsistencies that seem harmless, that make our days just a little easier and a little smoother. Who do they hurt? They're harmless. Nobody loses any money. Nobody has to go to the emergency room. Nobody's bleeding. Nobody's even going to have a bruise on their arm. What does it really matter about these little choices? These small, little, ridiculous things that we do just to get by. Remember your compass. Remember the hole in the piece of paper.
Right, right.
Because a little distance, just a little bit off the mark, and all of a sudden you're going in a completely different direction, and you're blind, and you can't see anything at all.
Well, remember, if you're not noticing the things of God that you want and building a greater repertoire, if you want, or however you want to say it, just a greater consistency of how good God is, if that's not happening, you have to remember something. You are noticing something. So you're noticing something else if you're not noticing him. Now, we're talking about Job right now. And I want to make this observation about Job. Job, you know, had a situation. This is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job had all of his belongings and his family, a catastrophe taking place. And Job wouldn't curse God, but he certainly had blame towards God. And all these three friends came around, and they began to basically help Job, try to get Job to basically curse God or blame God for it. Job's wife even said, curse God and die. Now, Job didn't do any of those things. But here at the end of the book, before things got turned around, and they got turned around the moment that Job repented. But I want to show you, and this is just one chapter. I don't even know if I'll get through the whole thing. But I want to show you what God used as the premise or information that helped Job become aware of God. And it goes right to our topic tonight of what you're supposed to notice. So listen to these words here. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. BJ, the whole idea he said, prepare yourself like a man. Those are fighting words, aren't they? Those contentious words.
I mean, yeah.
We're going to get into it right here, God's saying.
Yep. Pack a lunch.
That's right. You're going to learn something. You're going to get something here. Notice what he says. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who sketched out the line upon it? To what were the foundations fashioned? Or to who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop? Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. Do you know it because you were born then, or became the number of days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or the path for it, the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain? And so on and so on it goes to describe not only all of the heavens, but then the next chapter describes all the earth and all the deer that he made, the Leviathan that swims in the sea. On and on he goes until Job said at the end of this, I have uttered words without knowledge. It was I who said these things about you. But now I put my hand over my mouth and I'll speak no more. And in that moment, God turned everything around for Job because he repented. God took nature, what he made, and brought such revelation to Job. He sat back in awe and wonder and said, you are God, you are awesome. And now I give you my allegiance.
I think it's real interesting about nature because I bring nature to the forefront in my life, and I try to bring nature to the noticeable to anybody that I talk to. Every year to a couple of years, somebody discovers a new species in the ocean, a new bird in the jungle, a new bug that lives in the desert, and it's a well-known fact that 90 to 95% of the creatures that live in the world's oceans have not been discovered yet.
Wow.
We've only discovered 5 to 10% of what potentially swims around the world in the oceans.
Wow.
They're now starting to believe that we probably are only aware of around 60 to 65% of what walks and lives on land and flies.
Hmm.
Now, what a perfect observation piece of information to bring into a show where the topic is, how much are you paying attention?
Right. What are you noticing?
What do you notice?
Yeah.
If civilization, if man as a whole, hasn't found 90-something percent of what's swimming in the oceans,
right,
has missed 15 to 35% of what walks, crawls, and flies on land, and yet this world is tangible to you?
Right. If the people that are looking for it
only
get a portion, then what about the majority of humanity that would actually look at you and say, I don't even care, I don't have time to care?
That's right. That's my point. Hey, you better clear this up, because Christine from Bellevue, Omaha sent another email that says, you are not going to be in Omaha on January 11th?
No. No, nothing's been confirmed, so I got to talk to Pastor Jim. I'm supposed to come up with some dates.
For Omaha?
Yeah, but nothing's been confirmed.
I don't know. It sounds like you better... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forward this email to you.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So that you can work this out for her.
Well, it'll be a reminder to call Jim. I haven't settled on anything yet.
Okay, we got another email that just came in. It says, good evening, fellas. Just signing in. Glad to be listening live tonight. Great time being able to fellowship with Brother Jim on Saturday. Massive word. Shout out to Brother Ed and family. This is Joseph from North Carolina.
Yeah, Joseph's a great guy.
You met him?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've known Joseph.
Okay,
for years.
We got a text that came in. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Could you please expand on what you mean by being connected? When you say, are you connected, and give an example. Thank you for AL. Thank you for all. I don't know. It was a long text.
Okay.
So whatever they text... Whatever you text after thank you for...
It got cut off.
It got cut off.
Okay.
Jim, you want to...
Yeah, well, let me just start by saying, just think of, okay, how can we do this? I'll give you an example. I mean, let's just say it this way, husband and wife. I think back to when I traveled with Brother Hagen in... the Ramah Singers and Band. And my last 2.5 years, Aaron traveled with me. Now, that meant, obviously, we're married, so we're with each other all night. We get up in the morning, we drive in the same car to the same place at work. I'm basically her boss, and we're doing all of our singing, and we're going through all of the things we do to prepare for the crusades and for the different trips that we take. And then when we go on these trips, we share the same bunk. In other words, we're connected all the time. Now my life, we have to stay connected in other ways because there's other distractions and I'm gone traveling. So we stayed connected by text, by phone, by FaceTime. So I'm just describing to you how that in life, there's all kinds of opportunities to be disconnected. And the greater your connection, the more real whatever you're connected to becomes. That's the whole point of it. God is supposed to become real to you. I could say it like this. In the beginning, in Adam and Eve walking around in the garden, if there was a radio station, it was called God 101 FM. But when sin came in, sin brought all kinds of other sounds in, all kinds of other stations. And it didn't take long until man literally didn't even know that there was a station called God 101 FM. It was drowned out. And even to this day, think of 2,000 more years or 6,000 or 7,000 years of man's distortion. Where is God 101 FM? Well, it's still there. You just have to sift through all the garbage of the world. So staying connected is allowing God to be real in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your emotions. And the more you do, the more really becomes as far as his voice, and you sense his presence, and he becomes a real person to you because he is. And at that point, I mean, fun starts.
Part of a connection to the guys or to anyone is habits, is a consistency of action reaction on a regular basis. I don't know if you can hear Ranger or not, but sometimes her Ranger's dog tags rattle when she shakes or she moves around here in the barn. But Ranger and I are pretty seriously connected. She can literally look at me from across the room, and I know that she wants to go outside and go to the bathroom. I know when she wants to play, when she wants to kind of fight with me and wrestle around on the floor. I know when she's tired. She knows when I'm tired. She knows when... Now think of this for a second. There is no reason at all for Ranger to know when this radio show is over. But yet when we're saying goodbye to you, she knows it's getting close to her time to bark into the microphone. She does, doesn't she, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
And the reason she knows that is it's because it's a habit. She knows the sounds, the body language, perhaps, whatever she perceives, she knows that this show's coming to an end, and it's going to be her time to bark and have fun. Part of a connection with the guys is like that. And Scripture refers to this. They use better language and maybe a little sweeter of a story, but it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the example of what was his name? Roger, who was walking on the water with Jesus. Roger, what? Who was it?
Peter.
That's close.
Mm-hmm.
R and P are real close in the alphabet.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's this guy, Roger. He's walking with Jesus on the water. He didn't even realize he was on water, and he didn't get wet until he stopped enjoying the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, quote-unquote, the fellowship of just walking and talking with his friend Jesus. Notice this in your own life. How often do you get together? There are so many of you right now that are sharing this radio show with someone else in your life, whether it's your kids, your wife, your husband, your best friend, brother, sister. Maybe you're separated by thousands of miles, but and you've said hello to each other on the show. I like that, by the way, when people mm-hmm. say hi to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had more of that. But you are connected because you're sharing an experience. So to be connected to the guys, to be connected to grace, is literally the same thing. The time spent, the shared experience,
right?
The familiarity, the lack of stress involved, the natural feeling of it. And this is what I'm referring to when I talk about connected. Okay, what is this?
It's a Werther's.
A what?
Werther's.
You know, I've never had a Werther's original.
That's it. It's really good.
I've never had one. I've seen them. Aren't they cough drops?
Nope.
So this is a Werther's original?
Uh-huh. You're gonna really like it. You're supposed to suck it.
You're supposed to what?
Suck it. You don't have to chew it. It's a hard candy.
Well, it wasn't that hard.
Well, I guess not.
Can you hear me chewing it?
Yeah, sure. Everybody can.
It tastes really great, but
yeah,
it sure don't last very long.
Well, mine lasts real long.
Why?
Because I suck it. I don't chew it.
If it's a sucker, where's the little round paper stick? Like a Tootsie Pop.
It's perspective.
I don't know much about these Werther's originals, but...
They're good.
I think it would be better if it had a stick so that people knew.
Hmm.
Because it's gone now.
Yeah.
like I never had one.
I might have another one in my bag. We'll see.
I don't know. Kind of good, but really not that hard candy. Got it. Just, you know, it was gone.
So, what do you guys think as you're listening to this? What do you all think about what you notice? What are you noticing?
Well, we got an email from someone named Beverly. It says, got it with your paper and compass illustration, noticing grace all around as we pay attention. Where in California is Jim in January?
I'll be in Ontario, California, and then in Riverside. I'll be Ontario the 18th, Sunday the 18th, and then I'll be doing a school for that particular church on Tuesday. Wednesday, I'll be in a church in Riverside, California, the 21st of January.
And if you listen to the show with any regularity at all, you know that this goes out to Grandpa and Grandma, the outlaw bikers in Morgan Hill, California. This is her email. It says, got it with your paper and compass illustration, noticing grace all around us as we pay attention. Where in California is Jim in January? Thank you, guys, Grandpa and Grandma.
Yeah, that's good.
Outlaw bikers.
Maybe you guys should ride your bikes down there. Or is that too far?
From where?
From where they're at.
Okay, where are you going to be? Because I really don't.
Ontario, Riverside.
Oh, my gosh. That's a long haul.
Okay.
See, Ontario and Riverside are kind of around the Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
So.
East of it. East of Los Angeles.
So, from Morgan Hill, California, the fastest way to get there would be to go through Morgan Hill, go through maybe to Gilroy, or maybe just cross over, get over to Interstate 5 as fast as they can. If it's still called Interstate 5, I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Is it? And then just zip on down. But if I was on a motorcycle,
wouldn't you want to go Highway 1?
I call it Highway 1, but I think they call it PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway.
Man, I'd be on that too.
But because then from Morgan Hill, you could get over into Monterey and take Highway 1 down the coast.
That's the way to go.
Well, it's a nicer route. It's prettier.
Yep.
But this time of year, it'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And it'd be really windy. But that's a long haul. You're talking about probably close to 400 or 500 miles.
Oh, wow.
I haven't been out there. You know, I haven't been in California in a long time. I couldn't escape fast enough for me. Yeah. When guys with guns and badges came out and told me how much water I was allowed to irrigate my alfalfa fields with, I knew it was time to leave.
Hmm.
That's when I said, you know, this state's not for me.
Hmm.
We got a one here. It says, thanks for answering my question. I got it. Thank you for all you do for all of us. That was the end of that text. I hope, because, see, we don't know who sends text messages. Should I come up with another homework assignment?
Yeah, if you got one.
Well, we don't even know if they like the homework assignments.
No, we're getting good response.
You think so?
Yep.
Well, I've got about, 5, 10, 15, I got about 20 minutes to come up with something. Now there's pressure. But,
Now, do you remember the, I want to tie this into it about noticing. Do you remember, and I know you will, but I shared during those 9 weeks, I mentioned this, that and I should have the scientific data. I probably, you know, Google, you can Google anything anymore. In fact, the other day, Drew asked me a question from the Bible, you know, which son of Noah did the Semitic Jews come from? And I said, well, I'm pretty sure, but let me just check. And I Googled it, pulled right the answer right up. It's pretty cool. So, but anyhow, scientists discovered in the human brain that there's a part of it that works like a file cabinet.
Right.
Where whatever you have passion or affection about.
Yeah, you enhance it.
Those things are enhanced, or it's as though you take the file and put it up in the front.
Right.
So what that means is subconsciously you're being, your life, your brain, the activity of your life begins to reach for those things that you're most passionate or affectionate about.
Yeah.
So you begin to see those things where before you didn't see them. Like you've been, they've been all there all along, but you just didn't notice them. And so I've always used the illustration of if you're going to get a new truck or a new car, you know, you've been going your particular route the way you've been going for years, but now it's time for a new vehicle. And once you kind of get the bug, you know, you go, you look, look, and you find the right car, the right truck, you got the bug, you bring home the, you know, the brochure and you look at it. The next week while you go to work and come back home, you'll see those cars everywhere.
Yeah.
Just because there's something in you now that wants to find what you're passionate or affectionate about.
I like that. It's real
good. If Christ, if grace, if you are affectionate about grace, this is the reason why you've made the comment to me. If you really want grace, if you really want to notice grace, if you really want to use grace, and you're not finding it, then it only says one thing. You really don't want it. You really don't want to use it. You don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Because if you did, you would. Doesn't that parallel that?
Yeah. You know, every once in a while you ask me, you know, what's sad, you know, about my travels with the guys and, you know, the things they kind of do tweaking around me and stuff. You always ask, you know, what's sad. I think one of the most profound sad things that occurs is when I see good people. I mean, people that have had better lives than me. They treat people better. They've got family and friends, and they participate in their community, and they don't have grace.
Yeah.
And I sit there, and I want to go up, and I just want to say, you know, I've got buckets of grace. I'm dripping in grace. I got so much grace, I don't know what to do with it, and you don't have any. This isn't fair. Mm-hmm. Because if anybody should have grace, it should be you. And if anybody should be denied grace, it should be me.
Right.
And I find that. But see, then I look at it and I say, okay, let's really look at this for what it is. And I'll talk to them and then I'll say, well, I don't care about that. I don't do that. That's not a concern of mine. I wouldn't, you know. And it's the Ranger theory. Last night I was at the grocery store and these people pulled up next to me and they had a chocolate lab. Now Ranger is going to be 9 next month. And they had a chocolate lab Jim that was 5 years old.
Hmm.
And Ranger liked him and he liked Ranger and they were wagging their tails, kind of barking at each other and everything. And I told Ranger to sit, and then I told her to move back. So I said, move back in the seat so I can talk to these people, and she did. And I said, Ranger, you have to be quiet because I can't hear what they're saying because you're barking. And you know how I talked to her. Mm-hmm. And Ranger did, and they said, are you a dog whisperer? Why? And they go, well, we can't get our dog to do that. And says, you said please and thank you, and your dog acts like she knows what you're saying.
Right.
And I said, how much time do you spend with your dog? And they says, well, what do you mean? I says, today, how much time have you spent with your dog? And they says, oh, about 15 minutes. I fed it this morning. I let him go out to go to the bathroom. And then another 15 minutes, I came home at lunch and let him out to go to the bathroom and gave him a snack. And, oh, we've probably been with him about 20, 30 minutes now. So he could ride with us to the store. And I kind of chuckled. I says, okay. And she says, well, how much time have you spent with your dog today? And I go, there's no reason to measure it. And she says, what do you mean? And I says, well, we had supper together last night. When I took a shower, she was on the outside of the shower. We slept together. We got up. We had breakfast. We did chores. We worked all day long. We've never been apart. Actually, the only time I'm going to be apart from this dog is when I go into the grocery store right now for about 5-10 minutes. Other than that, the last 24 hours, we've never been more than spitting distance apart. And I said, Ranger is not the smartest dog in the world. I says, I am just always connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always telling her to sit, stay, and come. I'm always talking to her. I'm always engaging her.
Mm-hmm.
So her life is this type of reinforced behavior.
Yeah, real good.
Now, folks, take this and apply it to yourself. How much time every day do you even acknowledge grace is around you?
Right.
When was the last time that you just by yourself, no matter where you were, you could be in the bathroom, you could be in the kitchen, you could be at a red light, you could be at school, you could be anywhere. When was the last time that you just, for a moment, a few seconds, you just went, well, grace is here. I wonder if I can spot it. Where is it? Because until you start to think like that, why would you think you can access it? Where would be the efficiency in it? That doesn't make sense.
Well, you know,
did that make sense?
Well, yeah, a ton of sense, and there's so many, you know,
something to back it up.
Yeah, I will. I am the extension of this show in a sense when I'm going to all these different places, and I'm hearing constantly of people that are, their life is being changed by these simple little things that we're saying here on this show. And as simple, folks, as if some of you are new, as simple as what BJ just shared, there are people that have been listening to those kind of statements and then scriptures that we use to back this up for now 2 or 3 years worth. And they'll listen to these shows over and over again. I mean, BJ, you and I have been astounded at times to hear people say, we've listened to every single one of your shows,
yeah,
and most of them twice. And we're looking at each other going, oh my goodness, we would never do that. You know?
No. Have you listened to all the shows? I haven't.
No, you're kidding. No. No.
I hardly ever listen to what you
right.
say.
Or you, yeah. And so my point is, when I'm going, what I'm hearing is people are picking up on the simplicity of what was just said, and they're using it. And then the coolest thing is we're having constant testimonies of people that are beginning to engage with God and God's grace, and the excitement in their voice is amazing because they have testimonies of things that are happening now in their life. In variety of arenas, financial arenas, just the favor of God giving them, you know, the kind of experience where people say, my, you're really lucky. I mean, what did you do today? Because this is just working out for you so wonderfully. I mean, people are having these experiences too. The wonder of watching their physical bodies change. I mean, I know individuals that are seeing tumors disappear, others where pain is just completely disappearing. When I'm on the road, and I want to continue to share this thought because it goes hand in hand with what BJ shared. When I'm on the road, I use these type of thought processes with people when they come up to be healed. And many, many times, instead of just laying hands on them, I'll just get them to question themselves and open up their mind. What's the possibility that just your conviction to come up here was more than enough for God's grace to begin to change your body right where you stand? Why isn't it possible that you're already healed? And you should see the testimonies that come in from people from all variety of different things, whether it's their eyes being made whole. We just saw a lady who couldn't see out of one eye instantly begin to see out of her eye in New Mexico. It was wonderful. And that particular happening was with the pastor there, Pastor Jeff, who does a great job there in New Mexico. And we saw that person's eye open up and legs being healed. And a lady that had meniscus tears in her knees instantly healed. And a little boy that had a lazy eye that was like half-masked. And I just barely even looked at him and prayed. And his eye, like somebody took the curtain and just raised it, came fully up. And it was
That's kind of neat.
It was totally neat. And so I'm sharing this to say, can these simple little things happen? really transmit into every area of your life? And the answer is 100% yes.
Well, it has to be 100% yes.
Yeah.
See, that's what I really don't understand sometimes, why people don't make demands on Scripture like they make demands on other things.
Right.
I mean, I paid good money for this and it doesn't work. Either I want my money back or I want a new one. Or I ordered a salad and I said no tomatoes. I want a salad without tomatoes. I mean, people are very demanding, and everybody knows exactly what they like, how they like it, and exactly when they want it. And you draw a line in the sand, and you will not compromise. I want French toast. I don't want pancakes.
Right.
I want scrambled eggs. I don't want oatmeal for breakfast. And you won't compromise. Come on. Where is that passion? Where is that definitive to have grace? To have a relationship with the guys? Because obviously you have the power and the intelligence to choose something and to stand your ground and not allow anyone to not provide what you want.
Right.
Well, doesn't it make sense, as something as serious as your eternal life, heaven and hell, your soul, your spirit, that you don't have that same passion? That same, I'm drawing a line in the dirt and it's my way or the highway when it comes to Scripture? Okay, we got an email here. It says, good evening, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. I thoroughly enjoyed the meetings this past weekend and the message Jim brought to us. Since the meeting, I've opened my eyes and heart and see grace everywhere. Thanks for all you guys do. Corey Rowell. Do you know who that is?
No, but thank you for writing.
We got another one that just came in. It says, hi, Jim, Ranger, and BJ. I had a dream some time back. In it, a man I didn't know was going to be sending me some anointing healing oil for free. There was a reason, but I'm keeping this short. I ran across Jim Huckaday on YouTube and realized when he started talking about having a radio show for free that, oh my goodness, he was indeed the guy in my dream. That's not a dream. That's a nightmare, lady. It clearly was his face. At first, I thought maybe I should call him to see if he would anoint some oil for me, but as I started to listen, I realized what God meant. I'll keep you posted now that I know I already am anointed. You can mention my name. This is from someone named Peggy.
That's great. Well, thanks, Peggy.
Well, you know what? I'd like to ask people a favor. When you send us an email, even if you don't want your name mentioned on the show, I'm curious to know where they are.
Okay.
You know, like, are they in Texas, New Mexico,
right,
or why are you laughing?
That was a nightmare, lady.
Well, I mean, I feel bad for her. She's dreaming about you. I mean, it might be, this might be that, you know, I always say, never say never. This might be the just that one time,
right,
where I go to the other end of the barn, open up my drug box on the truck, and mail the lady some prescription drugs and say, here, ma'am, just grind these big pills up and just put a quarter of this pill in a Del Monte chocolate pudding cup, and that'll take care of those nightmarish dreams about Jim Huckaday.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
And you know what? I just ordered more drugs for the truck.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, so the truck is fully
it's
stocked.
It's going to be fully stocked.
Fully stocked with drugs it is.
Well, according to the continual praising of God or noticing grace, David in the Psalms, the whole book of Psalms is filled with David thanking God or praising him for the grace of God doing this or for it doing this or for it doing another thing. Literally, it's nothing but a grace workout, David.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why David could stand in front of Goliath, and I say it like this, Goliath was big, but God was bigger. I mean, Goliath didn't even make David flinch. You know, he fought Goliath, and it wasn't even a fair fight because God was involved. Listen to the last psalm of David as he begins to just share his heart as the last letter that he wrote. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet, and praise him with the psaltery harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance, and praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When you look at what David writes, he's not praising God to get God to become real. He's praising God because he's already real.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and I want a caveat I want to mention about having drugs on the truck.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
In the livestock industry, in agriculture, there are certain rules and regulations about livestock that actually require certain drugs to be administered that has nothing to do with grace or grace not working. That unless certain requirements are met, certain livestock right. can't be shipped,
right.
can't be sold, so on and so forth. And so I just wanted people to understand what was going
right.
on.
Right.
I didn't want them to think that, you know, but I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah.
Hey, see, this is what I'm talking about. Enjoying the show from Los Angeles, California. Thank you. Well, see, now I like that. That's a not, I don't know who sent it because it's a text message.
Right.
Folks, don't worry about sending emails and text messages. You're not going to be on some system or board. You're not going to get any kind of advertisements or anything. We don't know who sends text messages. And the only person that knows who sent the emails is myself and my dog, Ranger. And after I read them on the show, they're just gone. We don't save anything. We don't send out anything.
Okay, so 20 minutes has gone by. Your time's up. You're ready to give people something.
No, I have a minute left.
All right, use it.
I really got to... You know what? I literally forgot that I had to come up with a homework assignment.
Yeah.
I got one.
See, I knew you'd come up with one.
How did you know that?
I just knew it.
Okay, folks, here is your homework assignment for the next show. It's going to require one thing and one thing only. Okay, you're going to need three things, okay, for next week's show. Are you going to be in the studio next week?
Yes.
That is the, what is that?
I'll be here.
That's the 18th.
Yeah, I come back Sunday night.
Okay, folks, you've got a week. You're going to need one pair of comfortable walking shoes, one pair of shoes that look nice, but you really wouldn't want to walk very far in those shoes, and a chair. A folding chair, a lawn chair. You could use an upside-down 5-gallon bucket or a stool. No sofas, no recliners. You could use a rocking chair or a kitchen chair. Just a basic chair. So you'll need a pair of comfortable walking shoes, a chair, and some shoes like dress shoes or some shoes that really aren't as comfortable that you wouldn't want to walk a long ways in. That's the homework assignment. You're wondering what's going on, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, you gave me only a minute to come up with a homework assignment.
So that's all you got to do is just have them?
Well, yeah, they've got a week to come up with two pairs of shoes and a chair.
Okay, so what are you going to do with them?
Well, they'll have to figure that out on next week's show, won't they?
Oh, okay. Okay. I guess you stalled a whole week to actually come up with a...
Did I what?
You got a whole week to come up with what you're going to do with two pair of shoes and a chair, don't you?
No. Oh, really? You think that's what it is?
No, I'm just kidding.
<It's>, Yeah, that's it, Jim. I'm going to spend the next 7 days, 24 hours a day, saying, please, God, please, what do I do with two pairs of shoes and a chair?
Right.
That's, you know what? That is kind of funny. Hey, it says, we got a text. It says, please give an example of being demanding. Well, I'll give mine, and then, Jim, you give yours. What I mean when I say be demanding of the guys is somebody will say, like, God, I really know I screwed up. I really messed up, and I know it was wrong, and I knew this was going to go bad, and I'm really sorry, and I'm never going to do this again, and I know that you forgive me, and I just want things to work out, and I just really need your help, and please just do this for me. Please answer my prayer. Please, please. I love you, and as soon as this prayer is answered, I'm just going to be a completely different person. Okay, see, there's begging, there's pleading, there's plan B in there, and there's no conviction, no commitment, there's no real tangibility that they even believe that their prayer is going to be answered. They're actually trying to sell the guys on answering the prayer. Well, I literally make a demand on the guys twice a day. And when I go to bed tonight, this is what I'll say. I'll say, well, guys, you did pretty good today. You could have done a little better, but you did pretty good, and I'm grateful for everything that I saw and everything that went on. And I know that tomorrow, Wednesday, is going to be better, I'll do better, and we'll get a lot more done around here than we did today. And I'm real excited to see exactly what you guys are going to come up with tomorrow. And then when I wake up tomorrow morning, Wednesday, I'll say, well, you heard what I said last night. I'm up, my dog's up, I hope you're up, because we got chores, and we've got a lot of things to do today. Now, see how committed I am, how real the guys are to me, how real grace is, that I'm making demands on them. That's what we're talking about. It's about conviction, just how real are the guys to you. And see, Ranger always talks. Oh, you're a good girl. Whenever I talk like that to the guys, Ranger, look, I know. You think it's something. You're wondering what's going on, aren't you? Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
I'm demanding the guys, and Ranger thinks, you know, she's getting her 2 cents in. Okay, we got a couple emails here. Oh, Jim, hey, demanding.
Well, I was going to read a scripture that backs it up.
Okay.
Over there in Isaiah 45:11, it says, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands you command me.
Say that again.
Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands you command me.
And where's that?
That's over in Isaiah 45:11. So
that's pretty demanding.
Yeah, he's saying you can contend with him according to the structure of what he set up, which is you are his son, he is your father, and Jesus has done something for you, which gives you a platform to say, this is mine, I know you're here, and I know grace is for me, so I'm going to experience this right now, and it's going to happen. And it's not a matter of disrespect, it's in the highest regard of respect to in a sense, hold God accountable for what he said is yours and what you can have and expect. Because that is believing him or putting him in a high respect, not disrespectful at all.
This is an email that came in 2 minutes ago. It says, hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Just wanted to say that I'm starting to get how simple this actually is. I have hit my brick wall and getting myself out of the way. One step at a time. Thank you for the wonderful message this weekend. In Lancaster, South Carolina, you can say my name. This is Wendy Furr, and it says, P.S., lunch was also great to be able to hear more on a more personal setting.
Yeah.
Okay, so not only did they buy you breakfast, they bought you lunch, and you got a basket?
Yeah, I got a basket. I get a basket everywhere I go. I get a basket of goodies.
You should see the look on his face. He said it kind of cocky. He goes, I get a basket wherever I go. Folks, somebody is, this is what I, do me a favor, folks. Where are you going to be next?
I'll be in Arkansas.
And where after that?
And then I'll be in Grenada, Mississippi.
I want somebody. I want somebody that knows that they're going to be seeing Jim. I want you to present him with a basket full of rocks. Just little rocks. They could be muddy or dirty, but just a basket full of rocks or a small bucket full of dirt.
Coal.
No, coal's expensive.
Oh. I'm thinking of Santa Claus.
Oh, man, no. A bag of coal is pretty expensive. I used to have a coal forge. Okay, it says, I live in San Diego. I get a lot of interesting dreams. It clearly was not a nightmare. God just gave me a heads up, I wouldn't get the anointing from a conference I was going to attend. This is from Peggy.
Okay. Well, Peggy, I've got meetings coming up.
She's defending you. She's saying it's not a nightmare.
In Ontario, California in January. So San Diego to Ontario. Well, I guess that's a little wrong.
You know,
it's about 2.5 hours.
We're just a small bit away from Christmas, and there is the Christmas carol when Scrooge went to bed,
yeah,
and he dreamed, and he said, no, it's just a bit of uncooked potato. Maybe Peggy in California had an uncooked French fry, and so it really
Maybe.
Are you ready to say something, music?
I am. Yep, we had a good time tonight.
Did you?
Yeah, good topic. Well, Father, I pray for everybody listening and to those of you that have been with us on the show tonight. Just open up your heart and open up your mind. It's not a difficult thing to do. An open heart and an open mind is actually an inquiry. It's a inquisitiveness to know that there's something more, that God is real, there's more for you, and you want it. If you really have an open heart and open mind, you'll be ready to notice God everywhere, because He is everywhere. And His presence is real, and His grace will influence and enhance your life. And you'll really begin to enjoy God everywhere you go. Amen.
Well, that was nice. What did you think of tonight's show?
Yeah, I think in my personal opinion, I think we did a good job and we hit the nail on the head. I really do.
You know, speaking of Christmas...
Yes.
Christmas is around 43 days, 2 hours, and 6 minutes, and about 40-something seconds away.
Okay.
Now you know it's right, because you know I'm good at
math. I'm not even going to look.
43 days, 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 20-something seconds.
Okay.
So by the time the show's over, there's probably 43 days, 2 hours, and maybe 1 or 2 minutes before it's Christmas.
Okay.
I keep doing the calculations in my head. Nobody cares. Okay, folks, you've got the homework assignment. You need a comfortable pair of walking shoes, a pair of shoes that is not comfortable to walk in, and a chair. You know, sometimes I wish we had a camera so we could see people. You know, see a whole family. You know, and I want to say something to think about a connection. One of these days, who knows, maybe it'll be 5 years or 5 minutes or, I don't know, 50 years, this radio show will come to a screeching halt. And those of you who are young will be older, and those of you who are old will be really old. Whatever the case may be, I have a feeling that some of your fondest memories of the past are going to be conversations. Do you remember when we all sat around and listened to those two guys on the internet talking about grace? So make sure that since tonight's topic is noticing things...
Right.
Make sure that everybody takes a minute tonight to appreciate just how fun it was to be with your friends and family for just a little less than 2 hours, and how you do this on a regular basis, and how maybe this is a nice way for you to spend your life on a regular basis.
Hmm.
Did you like that?
Yep, I did.
All right, let's hit some buttons here.
Ranger's ready to tell everybody it's her show.
Well, what do you think? We did all right?
Good, real good.
You know, most of this show, if people only knew, we were literally 20 seconds away from starting the show, and we still didn't know what we were going to talk about.
Came out just right.
Think so?
Yep.
Werther's Originals, they need a stick. If it's a sucker, it needs a stick.
Maybe.
Folks, I want you to take care of yourselves and your pets, and to start taking the time to notice things. Remember the pinhole in the paper and the compass. We'll see you here next week, Jim.
That's right. Good night, everyone.
And dog spelled backwards. Good night, everybody.